Good morning, family. You're going to stand up again pretty soon, but just before you do, we want to tell you that the bulletin is full of announcements of upcoming events, and we wish that you would make yourself aware of those events and then avail yourself to the fellowship that is available. And today, we want to take a few moments to greet one another, and I want to remind you as a congregation that really we expect all of you to be fellowshipping and greeting one another throughout the week. And so the main purpose of this time is to make sure that we introduce ourselves to someone new and greet those who are visiting us, all right? So take care of your personal relationships on your own time. In this time, make sure that you're greeting those who are new to the congregation. Would you do that, please? Let us stand to our feet and greet one another.
Good morning, family. We are going to be reading from the book of John, chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me does not believe in me, but he in him who sent me. And he who beholds me beholds the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of being able to come and worship you freely in America, Lord. We thank you for that. Father, we pray for our families who are traveling. We pray for our friends that are traveling, Lord. We pray for just the glorious days that you bring us and that we have the right to praise your name daily, Lord. We pray that we would be disciplined in our hearts to seek your word. Father, we pray for Pastor Tim as he presents the word to us today that we will be diligent to follow what he instructs us to do today. We just praise you and thank you for all you do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dennis. It's always good to open up the Word of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Today's sermon is entitled, "I Have Come as Light." This past Lord's Day, we read as the Lord concluded his public ministry, and as we read, it was actually very disappointing to see how the vast majority of the people responded to the Lord in unbelief. As the scripture says, though he performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. The phrase, "they were not believing in him," indicates a willfulness of their unbelief. They decidedly chose not to believe in Jesus. They willfully determined to deny what his life, words, and miraculous signs manifested, that he is the Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Thus, as John recorded, the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled in them, for God judicially blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they could not believe. After telling us of the non-believing multitudes, John went on to record that many, even of the rulers, believed in him, but even they were unwilling to openly confess Christ for fear of being persecuted by the Pharisees. Therefore, having fulfilled his public ministry, and with the cross just a few days before him, Jesus departed and hid himself. But this departing and hiding himself came with great purpose, for there remained much for Jesus to teach his disciples. And now, rather than ministering to the non-believing, Christ would spend his last hours privately ministering to the disciples, and that, of course, without the press or the opposition of the public. Should the Lord be willing, next Sunday we will begin to study chapters 13 through 17. And actually, I'm very excited to learn what the Lord taught the disciples just before he went to the cross. So having studied the close of the Lord's public ministry last week, and with the study of his private ministry to the disciples expected to begin next week, we have before us this day the closing paragraph of the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, which we find to be a transitional paragraph. Of this text, the Scottish theologian of the mid-1700s, Dr. John Brown, wrote, saying that before John records Jesus' private ministry to his disciples, he makes a pause in the narrative, and as it were, looks back and around. And in the paragraph before us presents us with, in a few sentences, with a brief but comprehensive view of all the Lord had taught and done during the course of his public ministry. And this brings us to the introduction on your handout. F.F. Bruce writes, this paragraph then, which summarizes the message of Jesus delivered in many discourses in the earlier part of this gospel, forms an appropriate transition to the following division of the gospel, in which Jesus turns from the unbelieving world to reveal the Father's love to the inner circle of those who open their hearts to him and his revelation. And then letter A, here in our present text we have a wrapping up of the Lord's public ministry, where John the Beloved gives us a condensed version or summation of Christ's teaching. Beloved, we have before us something that Christ said over and over and over throughout his teaching. So this brings us to Roman numeral 1, verse 44. And Jesus cried on and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. As we come to study this paragraph, beginning at this verse, we know that Jesus has already withdrawn and hidden himself from the public. And so, as the tense indicates, saying that he cried out, past tense, we understand that this is something that Jesus did in the past and repeatedly. While we take this to be a transitional paragraph, we want then to be very careful that we do not take it lightly by glossing over it, but that we study it with sincerity, with earnestness. Some commentators and expositional teachers say that these things found in this paragraph have already been studied, as we find that these truths and principles have appeared earlier in the book. They then tend to spend very little time here, simply reviewing the text, and that rather quickly. But I think, church, that it would be good for us to do more than a quick review of these holy verses of Scripture. For as God the Holy Spirit inspired John to pen, or if you will, to repen these words, so should we restudy them, and I think you would agree with that. Amen? If God should tell us something twice or thrice, we should study it at least twice or thrice. In many ways, today's study is a repetitive exercise, but that is meant then to repeat these essential truths, that we would have them down, that we would know them. With this in mind, perhaps it would do us good to consider why the Holy Spirit would move John to sum up the main themes of Christ's public teaching. Of course, we need to hear the truth over and over again, as I said, and we should never get weary of hearing the truth. Even if we hear a truth for the 150th time, in our hearts we should be saying yes and amen. Amen? But beyond that needing to hear it again and again, we can say with confidence that these truths presented here are central to the Lord's earthly ministry because they are central to saving faith. What we must comprehend and believe to be saved are contained, at least in part, in these verses. Also, as these truths are here reiterated at the close of Christ's public ministry, we understand then what, or better put, who it is that the public rejected in rejecting Jesus. Here in these scriptures, we find why the rejection of Jesus was such a serious ordeal and why they then were judicially blinded and made deaf so they could not hear the message. This was the message our Lord Jesus preached. Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. Letter A. That Jesus cried out tells us with what consistency and intensity Jesus proclaimed this truth, demonstrating the importance of it. This is something that Jesus wanted the people to know. Jesus publicly and consistently cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me, but in him who sent me. Now, as we look to the scripture, that the iron may sharpen the iron, we understand that what Jesus taught was this, that the one who truly believes in him does not believe in him alone, but by truly believing in him, they believe what he said and therefore believe in the one whom he sent, who sent him. That is, they believe in the Heavenly Father. So to believe the words of Jesus, one must then or will believe in the Father. Letter B. This truth is essential. being absolutely vital to salvation and needs to be clearly understood. If one accepts Jesus as the Son of God, they have accepted God Himself. And conversely, if one should reject Jesus as the Son of God, they have also rejected God Himself. To reject one is to reject both, which then is to reject salvation. The link between the Son and the Father is inseparable. It can't be broken, for Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." For someone to say that they believe in the Heavenly Father, but not that Jesus is His only begotten Son, insults the Father beyond measure. This is one of the reasons why the elders here at Heritage resist what we call the ecumenical movement. We resist locking arms with those who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, but they believe in some God, saying that we lock arms just so that we have unity. No, beloved, if someone does not believe that Jesus is the Christ, we do not have unity with them. And it's a sham, then, for me to go onto a platform, lock arms, and to pray together with the Buddhists and the Jehovah's Witnesses and those who practice Islam. That would be a tragedy and, in fact, blasphemous on my part to do such a thing. If one does not believe in Jesus, then they do not believe in God. They may believe in some God, little g, some false God, but they do not believe in God. Belief in Jesus Christ is to believe in God the Father. To believe in God the Father is to believe in Jesus Christ. So this link between the Son and the Father is inseparable. They are one. So I repeat, for someone to say that they believe in the Heavenly Father, but not that Jesus is His only begotten Son, insults the Father beyond measure. What human father would not be insulted if someone said, "I believe in you, but not your children"? Or, "We find you acceptable, but your children are unacceptable liars"? It would insult us. Which one of us wouldn't answer by saying, "If you reject my child, then despite what you say, you have rejected me"? And I think of this, and I ask you to think of this. Jesus is the Son of God, and God gave His Son to purchase our salvation. So to reject the Son is to reject the Father's greatest and costliest sacrifice, giving His Son for such as you and I. To reject Jesus is to reject the Father. To those who rejected Him, Jesus said, John 15:25, "They have both seen and hated me and my Father as well." And Jesus also said, Matthew 10:40, "He who receives me receives him who sent me." And then in Luke 10:16, "He who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." And in rebuking those who rejected Him, Jesus said, John 8:19, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." One can no more be rejected and the other accepted than we can live with the right side of our heart functioning and the left side dead. As the death of one side of my heart means the death of the entire person, so too is it fatal to reject the Son of God, for in hating Him, the Father is hated. This truth was a theme in Christ's teaching. He who believes in me does not believe in me, but in Him who sent me. And then He continues saying, verse 45, "And he who beholds me beholds the one who sent me." Roman numeral 2, whoever beholds or sees Jesus beholds and sees the Heavenly Father who sent Him. This is the same truth that Jesus spoke of, and we are soon to study in chapter 14, verse 9, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Letter A, Colossians 1:15 says, "And Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." And Hebrews 1:3 says, "And Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His nature." Jesus is God in flesh, the exact earthly representation of the holy heavenly God. To know Jesus is to know the Father. To believe in Jesus is to believe in the Father. To receive Jesus is to receive the Father. To love Jesus is to love the Father. To obey Jesus is to obey the Father. And so then, the negative is true. To hate Jesus is to hate the Father. To despise Jesus is to despise the Father. And on we could go, but I believe you've gotten the point. Now, expounding upon the thought that the Father sent him, Jesus continued saying, verse 46, I have come as light into the world that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. So, Roman numeral 3, a purpose for which the Father sent his Son into the world was to be as light. Now, first, someone might dispute the Lord saying that he was sent of the Father. They would say this is a self-proclamation. Jesus says of himself that the Father sent him, but that hardly proves that he was sent of the Father and that God is his Father. But Jesus himself answered that erroneous indictment, saying in John 5, 36 through 37, the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, and the Father who sent me has borne witness of me. Jesus is saying, look at what I have done, and you will know that I am sent by God and I am his Son, for I do the works that only God can do. When the authorities denied that Jesus was sent by God and accused him of being a blasphemous liar, Jesus responded saying, John 10:37, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. If I'm not doing what God would have me to do, don't believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. We only need to look at what Jesus did, and we can see clearly that he is God the Son. The works that the Jesus of Nazareth worked demonstrated the truth of who he is and who it was who sent him, indisputably proving as fact that he is sent by the Father into the world as light. So then we ask the question, what does it mean then that Jesus came as light? Think for a moment about light. We're enjoying it today, are we not? How important is light to all of us? If the sun suddenly ceased to give its life, its light, all life on earth would cease as we would be plunged into utter darkness. Even those creatures that live in the dark and do not see, they would die because plant life would die and temperatures would plummet. Even the moon would cease to shine in the darkness of night, for it would have no light to reflect. If there were no light, there would be no life. And then light reveals that which darkness hides. Light gives sight to our eyes, warmth to our bodies, and hope to our beings. And if natural light, family, means this much to us, how much more does the Father sending Christ as light mean to us? What does it mean that Jesus came as light? He came to shine truth where truth had not been known or recognized. He came to enlighten our eyes of our understanding that by explaining the Father to us. He came to reveal sin and our need for a Savior. And he came to show us that he is the Savior. He came to show us the way to the Father by shedding his blood upon the cross. Letter A. 1 John 4:10 expresses the truth that Jesus came as light by saying that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And verse 14 says that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. As 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God. This is what it means and so much more that Jesus came as light. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And no one comes to the Father but through him. He came to show us the way. Jesus came as light, being the salvation of mankind. Letter B. The Father sent Jesus to be as light so that everyone who believes in him may not remain in darkness. It can be said of Jesus as Job said of God, Job 12:22. He reveals the deep things of darkness and brings deep shadows into the light. As the truth of Christ shines upon us, the glory of God is revealed and our sin is exposed. And that's why many hate the light. They love the darkness, for they hide in it. As Christ enlightens us, the glory of God is revealed and our sin is exposed. And as we believe in Jesus, we turn from our dark sinfulness. And in repenting of our sin, we receive the forgiveness of God. And we come to live in the light of Christ and His truth. Amen. Jesus Christ came to enlighten us, to reveal the Father to us, that we would no longer live in the darkness of sin and death, but we would walk in the light. Beloved, Christ Jesus came that we might be saved from sin to life, coming out of darkness into light. As Scripture teaches, those who do not believe in Jesus are lost in the darkness of sin. And as He said, those who walk in darkness do not know where they are going. That is, they are lost. This is the promise of God come to you today, though, that everyone who believes in Jesus does not walk in the darkness. And as the Scripture teaches, whoever believes the truth comes into the light. It is no wonder then that Jesus commanded the people, saying, while you have the light, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of light. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I implore each one of you to come out of the darkness of sin into the light of Christ. For 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin, come out of the darkness, and live to righteousness, come into the light. For by His wounds you were healed. Beloved, as He died on the cross, He purchased our salvation, and our sin wounds are healed through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So quit straying like a lost sheep and return to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. 1 John 4:15 says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and God will abide in you. And dear family, where God resides, darkness remains no more. Amen. As a staple, Christ taught the people, saying, I have come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. Amen. If you will believe in him, not merely believing something about him or believing something of him as mere fact, but if you will believe in him, entrusting yourself to him, accepting his word as truth, obeying him by committing your life to him as Savior and Lord, then you know that you have come out of darkness to walk in the light of the truth of Christ. And Roman numeral 4, as Jesus taught, verse 47, and if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And letter A, the purpose for which Christ came to was to save the lost. Jesus said, John 3:17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. And he said, John 5:45, do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Luke 9:56 says, the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus did not come the first time to judge the world, but to save the world. Therefore, if anyone hears his word and does not keep it, he does not judge them. Nevertheless, we're not off the hook. Verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. Note then that rejecting Jesus is synonymous with not receiving his teaching. To fail to receive his teaching is to fail to receive Christ. We cannot say, well, I love Christ, but I hate his teaching. Or I love Christ, I just don't care for what he said. No way. To reject Christ is synonymous with rejecting his teaching and vice versa. If I do not receive his word, then I reject him, calling him a liar, determining that his teaching and his commandments are not worthy of my adherence and obedience. We've heard it said before, and I'll say it again. There are some who will say, well, I love the Lord, I just don't like what he said. And we say, that's impossible. Impossible. Some will say, well, I believe he was a good man, but not the Son of God. Then he was a liar. And good men aren't liars. You have to receive him as he is for what he says in totality, or you reject him. Nothing in between. There is no riding the fence on this matter. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And he said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Those who refuse to receive Christ's word has one who judges them. And it is the word which Christ spoke that will stand testifying against them. Think about this. Jesus said in John 8:51, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. And then in contrast, here we're warned that anyone who does not keep his word will be judged by it. Letter B. Those who refuse to believe in Jesus by refusing to receive his word as truth have condemned themselves. It is as God said to Moses, Deuteronomy 18:18-19, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. He will be responsible. That one who hears and does not listen will be responsible and give an answer before God. Jesus said, the word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. From this we can learn three things. Firstly, there will be a last day. Listen, there will be a last day. All creation as we know it is temporal, subjected to frustration, coming to a quick and sudden end. As the Apostle Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:9-11, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But though the Lord is patient, though he's desiring all to come to repentance, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. And then Peter says, since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Beloved, there will be a last day, and we should consider our life. Secondly, then from this verse we recognize that the last day will be a day of judgment. As Acts 17:30-31 says, God is now declaring to men that all everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, that's Christ, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. As Hebrews 9:27 says, that it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. A.W. Pink wrote, then shall hidden things be brought to light, the righteous vindicated and the unrighteous sentenced. Then shall God's holy law be magnified and his holy justice honored. Then shall all his enemies be subjugated, and God shall demonstrate that he is God. Then shall every proud rebel be made to bow in subjection before that name, which is above every name, and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen, church, seeing that every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, why not bow to him now? Why not obey his word now, confessing him as Savior and Lord now, rather than waiting until that day when all will bow and confess, only for some to be cast out? There comes a last day, and it will be a day of judgment. The Lord is declaring to all men now that they should repent. Now. Today is the day of salvation. Thirdly, then, we understand that letter C, on the day of judgment, when men will be judged by the word of God. Revelation 20, 11 through 12 says, "And I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds." What, church, is written in these books by which the dead shall be judged according to their deeds? Is it not the word of God? The dead will stand before the throne, and as their deeds are compared to the word of God, they will be known as gods or not. Their deeds will show whether or not they believe the words which Christ spoke. Obedience to the word of God, or the lack thereof, tells all. Faith without accompanying works is a dead faith. It doesn't save. Like those men who brought the woman caught in adultery before Jesus that he might condemn them, the Lord did not say a word to them. He simply bowed down and wrote in the dirt. And what he wrote was enough to send them away in shame. Listen, that's a foreshadow of what's to come. So will it be on the last day. His word will judge and send away those who rejected him and send them away in shame. Christ need not judge. Oh yes, he will be the judge. He will sit on the throne. Amen. But we will be judged by the word. Consider this warning then, letter D. Romans 2, 5 through 8 says, "Because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance and doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation." Beloved, we may take these words as harsh, but I tell you they are kind words of truth, meant to bring us to the place that we ought to be. How loving would it be if God let us go our way? But he warns us, amen? Now I want to think of ourselves. We are a blessed people. Amen? We have heard the word of God over and over. We have the word of God in written form and audibly recorded. We have the preaching of the word of God available to us both day and night. We have printed materials, and many of us have many Bibles on our shelf. So then, family, When we come before Christ, we will be without excuse. If there be any of us who come before Christ, having rejected Him and His Word, they will by His Word be judged and found wanting. The very words that are meant to bring us to faith will actually testify against us. Take care then for your soul. Why will His Word stand in judgment of those who do not receive Him? What gives His Word such power and prominence and authority? Jesus said, verse 49, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father Himself who sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak." Remember what I quoted earlier as God spoke to Moses in Deuteronomy 18. "I will put my words," the Lord says, "in his mouth, and he shall speak them all that I command. And it shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, as spoken by him, whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him." Letter E. Those who reject Christ, not believing his sayings, will be judged by the words he spoke, because he did not speak on his own initiative, but he spoke only as God the Father commanded him and what to say and what to speak. To reject the words of Christ is to reject the very words of God the Father. Again, we can't separate Christ from the Father. They are one. Therefore, their words are one. And in closing the 12th chapter, Jesus said, verse 50, "And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me." Letter F. As the Father himself sent Jesus not to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him, so were the words that the Father instructed Jesus to speak meant to bring eternal life to the hearer. To fail to receive Christ and His Word is to fail to receive the words of eternal life given by the Father. Make no mistake about it. What Jesus said was only that which the Father gave Him to say, and what He said precisely as the Father gave it to Him, and the words He spoke were words of life. Jesus says to the disciples, "Are you going to leave me?" Peter says, "Where are we going to go? Who else has the words of life?" The words Jesus spoke were the words of God, and they are the words of life. Believe and be saved. Deny and be judged. Though Christ spoke these things consistently and throughout his public ministry, and though he had performed so many authenticating signs before the people, yet they were not believing in him. And what was the result? Recall? God judicially blinded their eyes. The words come as salvation to us today. Believe before judgment. So, they did not believe. Christ departed, hid himself, that he might teach the disciples privately. This morning, you have heard a summary of the teachings of Christ. Jesus came to explain the Father to us. If one is to be saved, they must believe in Jesus, and if they believe, they will obey his words. Jesus came as light sent by the Father, speaking the very words of God. To fail to believe in Jesus is to be judged by the words he spoke. By the words he spoke that you might be saved. So the conclusion is this. Let us be careful to listen and act. It's not enough to hear only. There must be action on our part. Let us be careful to listen and act upon what we have heard, for God speaks to us this very day through His Son by means of His written word. God has not given an invitation for men to act on at their pleasure, but a commandment which they disobey at their peril. That commandment is that we should believe upon the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Today, you may believe, you may obey Him, believing in Jesus and receiving eternal life. But should anyone choose not to obey and believe in His Son, Jesus, they will be judged on the last day by the same word given to save them today. Think of it. Jesus came into the world as light, that everyone who believes in Him may not remain in darkness. While you have the light, believe in the light, in order that you may become sons of light. And this is the word of the Lord. Shall we bow our heads, please? Our Lord Jesus, we come before You at this time, and we thank You for Your teaching. We thank You, Heavenly Father, by Your will, that You inspired John the Beloved to write these words, this paragraph, that we might have this summary of the teaching, that we might understand what we must believe, that we might be saved. Today, Lord, it is with joy in my heart, and I know I agree with many here, it is with joy in my heart that we can confess that Jesus is the Christ, and that we believe Him, that He is sent by You, He is the Son of God, and we believe every word that He spoke. Thank You, Lord, for granting us such faith as this. But we also then cry out for those who perhaps have not believed this, who maybe have said they believe in God but not in His Son Jesus, who have said in their hearts, well, I think Jesus was a good man but not the Son of God. Oh, Lord, convict them now by Your word. May they receive Your word now. May they receive life through You. And in so doing, may they come out of darkness. And Lord, may it ring ever true in our ears that if we should reject Jesus, if we should reject His word, then we will on that day be judged by it. Help us, Lord, to remain ever faithful to You, to love You, to serve You, and to honor You. Jesus is the Christ. And all the church said, amen. Jesus paid the debt we owed for our sin. Amen. And as our brother Jim said, there's an old song that says, we owed a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt He did not owe. He paid our debt. Amen. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him with all your heart. Amen. You will be saved. So, beloved, if you're saved, go out this week and live as a child of God. Amen. May God bless you as you go your way today.